Episode 129.
Ron Moore returns to sci-fi and other news.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. We're back.
I almost cut off the music there because I did start it a tad bit early, but whatever.
I know. What the heck, man?
I forgot about and other news.
Yeah, it's a staple.
It is. So, hi, Ben. Good to see you.
It's good to see you as well, Matt.
Let's give them a little bit behind the scenes. We're not going to play it on these upcoming episodes, but just a moment ago.
Yeah.
Guess who you met?
I met your fiance.
Yes.
She is a real person.
Yep. I had her here. I surprised you. You walked in, and there she was at the microphone. So we did record for a few minutes, but
yeah.
It's not for the show. It's for
another
some
time.
Future episode. I don't know when.
So conspiracy theorists out there, you're wrong.
She is real.
Yes.
And in further news, the episode called Marriage Advice for Matt, coming summer 2013.
All right. Yeah, so dig up your best marriage advice.
I've been getting some great emails so far. So
yeah.
If you are a listener, which I think you are, then send me your...
I'm talking to the listeners.
Listeners, send me your feedback and send me your marriage advice to matt@thescifichristian.com. I've been getting a lot. And so I think this is going to be a pretty good episode. It'll be the most weird, different episode we've ever done when we do this.
Yeah.
But we did kind of – I sort of have some sci-fi slash marriage advice that I received that we'll play at the end of this episode. Well, not play. I'll read.
Have I ever told you about my father-in-law? He's kind of an odd sort of guy.
I know that you have a father-in-law.
I have a father. He's a very odd sort of guy.
Okay.
He's not entirely with it. But the marriage advice he gave us when we got married, this is very profound, so you'll want to take notes.
Okay.
Be nice to each other.
Whoa.
That was the sum total of his marriage advice for us.
Wow. I mean, that's very respectable.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done. Ben,
yes,
do you have anything else you want to get to before we...
Well, I wanted to, the voting closed on round one.
Yes.
Of the Sci-Fi Christian Battle Royale 2013 last night.
Yeah.
And Matt Anderson, you are going to the next round.
Thank you. Yes, and so go check out thescifichristian.com. Yeah, let's just take a look here quickly. We haven't commented on who the contenders were so far. I did want to say, I mean, I just think...
How did Jack Bauer actually make it into the competition?
This is exactly what I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Jack Bauer was voted on by one of the fans, even after you and I were like, no, we can't put in. Max made the final call, though. He's the enforcer on this particular one. So good work, Max. I do like Jack Bauer. I just don't think he's sci-fi.
I do want to say I disagree with Max's choice, but I respect it.
No, Max, it's okay. No big deal. And so we got to let that new listener that picked Jack Bauer have her way. But he faced Godzilla, which that wasn't... It was actually much closer than it should have been. It was 47 votes to 45 votes.
Whoa.
Yeah, Jack Bauer lost by 2 votes
to
Godzilla.
What the heck, people?
Meanwhile, I faced Bender from Futurama, and I won 41 to 14.
Yeah, that's a crushing victory.
What do you think won between Jason Bourne and James Bond?
Well, I know who won, because I looked earlier today. It was Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne, 34 to 18. Dutch from Predator, right?
Yeah.
Never seen that. I don't even know the character Slender Man.
I have no idea who that is.
Slender
Man
lost. Dutch is up 26 to 22. You're going to hate this one.
I know exactly.
Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones faced off against Kratos. And Kratos is who?
He is a video game character from the God of War franchise.
God of War. And I know he's a god killer, correct?
He is it's a terrible game. I mean, it's very popular, but the game is just absolute garbage.
But the character, he's a god killer, correct?
Yeah.
Super powerful.
Yeah.
But bad news for me, he won 29-20 against Tyrion Lannister.
No, it's actually good news for you because why in the world? I can't imagine why he won, but I want to speak directly to the Sci-Fi Christian audience. If any of you vote for Kratos, period, but especially against Matt Anderson, you're absolute fools because it's one of the most overrated video games of all time. I don't know what you guys were thinking voting for him over Tyrion, but it's time to get it straight, guys. Not enough of this nonsense. Pull your stuff together and let's vote for Matt Anderson and get that idiot Kratos out of the competition.
All right. Yep. So I'm facing him in the next round. Ender from Ender's Game faced off against Crow T Robot, the robot from
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, and the winner was Ender, thank goodness, 30-11. I was really sad about this next one. Master Chief from...
Halo.
Halo faced off against my favorite president, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and it was devastating. 29-17 loss for Abe.
Yeah. I mean, probably just because that movie was so horrible.
And then in the closest competition in the first round, Gabriel, from who's an angel, from the TV show Supernatural, faced off against Mal Reynolds.
That shouldn't have been close,
from Firefly. And Mal won by one single point.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I don't know if this competition's a good thing, because it's making me a little very disappointed, actually, in our fans.
Well, you know, somebody said about Supernatural, and maybe this will come up in our feedback today, but that if we would check it out, it would probably, based on our likes that we've talked about on the show, this listener thought that we would like it.
Yeah, it's not so much the fact that I think I wouldn't like it. It's the fact that there's 9 seasons, going to be more, and they're each 20-plus episodes.
Yeah, you're really against that.
Yeah.
They said they would send us a viewer's guide.
I don't want a viewer's guide.
Just some episodes.
Very kind of you, but no, if I'm going to watch a show, I'm going to watch a show.
Very kind of you, but...
I shouldn't take out my anger on the voting results in general.
Well, in conclusion, I plan to release this episode tomorrow, March 12th.
All right.
Probably not tonight, but maybe I'm traveling for work this week, so I'm going to try to edit this right away. And March 12th is the day voting starts for round 2. So get on the website, thesci-fi-christian.com. It's just, you only have to vote once. It's not like when we're in the podcast awards where we're watching. Yeah. Just vote one time.
But you can stuff the ballot.
No, they literally can't vote more than once.
I did.
From different IP addresses?
Or? No. They let me vote for you twice.
From what computers?
I don't know.
No, I was unable to. I tried to vote for myself twice.
Well, I succeeded.
And so, anyways, check it out. On March 12th, we'll release round 2, and it's only for a limited time, so get on there ASAP.
Yeah, we got to get Matt Anderson to the finals.
Also, just as an update, we are right now reviewing all of the short stories that were sent to our synopses for the Tolkien Lewis competition.
Right.
So we will be announcing a winner by March 25th is the date I heard.
Okay, so we're going to do our show on that eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not until in April, though, because you and I talked about a calendar, so we're...
Okay.
We kind of have a calendar going out here, so...
Yeah, stick to the schedule.
Stick to the schedule, man. Here we go.
It's time for sci-fi news.
Top story, Ben. Take it.
So, Ronald D. Moore, famed creator of Battlestar Galactica, showrunner of Carnival, and frequent scripter for Star Trek The Next Generation, but I forgive him for that last one.
I did not know that he did Carnival.
Yeah, he was the showrunner. He was not the creator, but became the showrunner in the second season. Yeah, great show. Really, really enjoyed.
It was only 2 seasons and got canceled early,
unfortunately,
right?
Yeah, brilliant
it
show.
It didn't end in a way that, like, it kind of ended abruptly, didn't it?
Well, kind of. I mean, the creator, I forget his name right now, but he had planned for 6 seasons, but each 2 seasons were a pair, and then he was going to skip forward in time for the next 2.
Oh, cool.
So there is a little bit of resolution because the first pair of seasons had ended. But unfortunately, not, you know, the larger story. There's things that he began to develop that unfortunately never came to fruition.
Is there any place where he could get that story out by novel form? Or
I think he's talked about it, but HBO has the rights to Carnival, so stupid HBO.
Come on, HBO. Get together.
We're all paying. Maybe if everybody stops pirating Game of Thrones and actually gives them money.
I heard that the creators liked that it was being pirated.
Well, it's interesting because one of the writers had come out a few weeks ago and said, the piracy doesn't hurt us. It's, actually helps get our name out. And HBO came out and said, not so fast.
Yeah.
We're not a fan of the piracy. So then he had to backpedal a little bit. But, you know, it does make... We certainly don't advocate pirating stuff, but it does make a degree of sense that part of a show's success isn't just ratings, but also the cultural footprint that it has. And no doubt Game of Thrones wouldn't be anywhere near as popular or as influential in the culture if it wasn't for piracy. So I think there's an interesting
conversation. You think that's true? Is it really that... Why piracy? Why that particular show, do you think?
Well, because HBO's one of the hardest channels to get.
Okay.
You know, without, you have to pay extra beyond cable. If you don't have cable, there's no way for you to get it independently. Unlike shows like Walking Dead or Mad Men, not only on Netflix, but you can go out and get a season pass on iTunes or Amazon for the current season. Game of Thrones, it's not released on Amazon until after the DVDs come out.
Oh, I wasn't aware of. Not even on iTunes?
No. No, so you can't watch it. The only way to watch it legally is on HBO, and unless you want to wait for the DVDs. So because of that, it is the most pirated show out there. And no doubt there's many people who are big fans that wouldn't be. I mean, I talked to one friend this weekend who remained nameless, who downloads it illegally, but then he goes out and buys the DVDs, you know, when they come out. So,
just to make up for it?
Yeah, I suppose that, you know, if you're looking for a moral loophole, at least do something like that. You know, preemptively watch what you're going to purchase.
What's the premiere date for season 3?
Easter.
Fittingly.
March 31st, yeah.
So next week, let's you and I record our intro episode, kind of introducing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're going to take the video series by yourself now. Well, not by yourself, but apart from me with some new co-hosts.
Yeah.
Just the video series, not the
sci-fi. That'll be exciting.
So, great. So, inclusion, Ronald D. Moore, back on TV. What's the show about?
Well, it's called Helix, and I don't know if there's been a ton released about it just yet. I can check.
I mean, I've heard some things about it. It doesn't have something to do... I mean, the name Helix, doesn't that imply something with genetics?
Yeah, well, it certainly would seem to, because of, you know, we all remember Jurassic Park and that great scene where they have the little Helix guy bouncing around explaining DNA.
Yeah, I actually like that. Oh, and yeah. Jurassic Park, I just saw a commercial yesterday on Hulu for the release of its 3D in April.
Oh, but, yeah... I hate the fact that everything's 3D. Okay, so this is about scientists at an Arctic research facility who find themselves trying to protect the world from annihilation.
Yeah, I've heard that this has some potential, not zombie, but some Walking Dead feeling to it. Like kind of like there's some breakout or outbreak and they're trying to help it. And one cool thing about it is, I don't believe you just said it got to skip past the pilot stage.
Oh, cool.
So it went straight to a 13-episode order.
Right, they have a full season order. Well, yeah. Should be a full season order. Unfortunately, sci-fi stuck in the dark ages and still do these stupid 20-episode seasons. Mm. But hopefully that will be the limits to its season. But yeah, I'd be okay with it being Walking Dead-like, because Walking Dead is completely idiotic, so I would enjoy an actually good zombie show out there.
I don't know if it is about zombies, though. I don't get that feeling. It's just something about a possible disease outbreak.
Yeah.
But it says in the description, they find themselves in a terrifying life-and-death struggle that holds the key to mankind's salvation or total annihilation.
A little bit of a trivia for you, Matt. Which Star Trek movie did Ronald D. Moore write?
I'm going to guess First Contact, because that's the best one.
He did.
I literally just based it on what I thought was the best Star Trek.
And I think he also co-wrote Generations, but I'm not entirely sure.
That wasn't as good. But when I think of my favorite Next Generation movies, First Contact, hands down, is so awesome.
Yeah, even I like that one.
It's probably
a good movie.
Like pre the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, I think First Contact might be my favorite Star Trek movie, period, of any of them.
Yeah.
So check that out.
I mean, people like Wrath of Khan, but...
Did you know I just watched Wrath of Khan for the first time since childhood recently?
Well, what did you think of it?
Actually, I kind of liked it. I did like it, and I watched
Stupid
Search
for William
Spock.
Shatner.
I watched number 3, Search for Spock, right afterwards. Both of these are on Netflix. Kind of like that, but not as much. I mean, Wrath of Khan I actually enjoyed. Search for Spock was more like, oh, just got to get through this. Leonard Nimoy directed that one, which I didn't realize.
Well, that tells you everything you need to know.
He was barely in the movie. He didn't appear until towards the end.
Because doesn't he die in Wrath of Khan?
Yep, he dies in Wrath of Khan.
Spoiler alert.
I was thinking about spoiler alerts. I don't want to be tied down to spoilers so much. And I feel like there has to be, once it's past a certain time, you don't deserve a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
For example, I heard somebody talking about Space Trilogy on a different podcast, well, Strangers and Aliens, Ben Avery's podcast. And they started talking about it, and I was like, oh, I don't want to be spoiled. Come on, guys. And this is what I was thinking in my head.
Yeah.
But then I realized, well, wait a second. This book has been out for so many decades. I don't deserve to not be spoiled.
Yeah.
And so on the Sci-Fi Christian, what should our stance be? How long? If it's been out for this long, it's your own fault.
Ooh, 10 years.
So 10 years or more,
you're
free to be spoiled from here on out.
Yeah. Bruce Willis was dead in the Sixth Sense.
Oh,
yeah, but I mean, that basically proves the point, doesn't it? That anybody who doesn't know that twist obviously hasn't been paying attention to pop culture.
Yeah.
So, you know, the interesting question, I think, is when it comes to historical events that maybe aren't super well known, but could be spoilery. For example, Annie and I were having dinner with another couple this weekend, and me and the guy both watched the HBO series Deadwood, which is based on real events. Lots of the characters are historical, and there's a character who dies, And, you know, because Annie might watch the show someday with me, she's expressed some interest. We started talking about this character. I like, stopped myself because I don't want to spoil her. And then I'm thinking, it's a historical fact that he died exactly like the show depicts, where it depicts, when it depicts. So is something like that a spoiler when it's a historical fact?
Yeah.
Even though it's a relatively recent show.
It would be comparable to, like, somebody watching a movie on the life of Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Passion of the Christ.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better. They're watching Passion of the Christ, and you're like, spoiler alert, he dies at the end. What? Are you freaking kidding me?
Double spoiler, he comes back.
Oh. I'm sure I've said this on the show, but I feel so much like the end of Passion of the Christ, where he starts walking away. Or I can't remember exactly how it ends, but it is walking out of the tomb, right?
Right. Well, you see, like, the stone rolls away, and he stands up, and then he walks off screen. Yeah.
It feels so much like they're setting up a sequel, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like that would easily be a setup for the
Somebody
next movie.
Somebody needs to take that scene and replace the music with the Terminator music.
I want to see a sequel to Passion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they could call it Acts of the Christ.
Christ is back.
Yeah, with a vengeance.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways. All right. I was thinking, so you and I always talk about what's the top news, and we picked yours, which I thought was a good choice. But
I didn't hear yours, so we didn't really have a vote.
Well, I know, but I wanted yours because I don't always want to have our top news be related to Star Wars now.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there was some pretty interesting Star Wars news.
There was,
George Lucas, according to George Lucas, he's saying that they have signed Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, but then he kind of backpedal a little bit because he realized he probably shouldn't be saying that. So then he kind of was like, well, we've been having some negotiations. I'll let you know how they went later. After he had already said they're basically signed.
Yeah. Do you think the sticking point is like, you know, because they're probably going to film on location somewhere. Can we get Harrison Ford's oxygen tank out into the desert? Is that the sticking point?
I don't know, but I was at first glad that they were going to use these three actors. And now the more I think about it, the more I feel like that could hamper the story because they have to tie them in. When Joss Whedon just said this last week, if he was doing it, he would go a totally different direction, not use any of these people, just go forward with new stories, new characters.
Yeah.
But right now we're kind of, I don't know, we're just kind of tied down to, they have to shoehorn in Luke Skywalker and.
Yeah. I mean, some of it's got to be for legitimacy, you know.
Maybe.
We're really Star Wars. The other interesting piece of that news, though, is I don't know if you read this Business Weekly Insider's report.
I did, and it was such a great it was a great article. Yeah, go check it out. And Daniel posted it through his Between Disney, so you can check it out. Probably a link through his Facebook page, but that's betweendisney.com.
Yeah. And what's interesting in this is that one of the things that came out is that Lucas had treatments written for the sequel trilogy. So he had stuff that was in the works, which makes sense if you look back on your last few years of Star Wars history. Why was he going to do the 3D stuff? Well, the speculation is he wants money to, you know, be able to fund the sequels.
Yeah.
So that certainly seems a lot more legitimate now that that came out.
And it kind of explains why all of a sudden they just stopped the re-release of the prequels.
Yeah, because Disney probably saying, we don't need
– Yeah, we're fine. We got enough money.
Exactly. Nobody needs to see Attack of the Clones again ever. But, you know, so there's these treatments floating around. And the question becomes, is Disney using these to craft their sequel trilogy, which seems quite plausible since, again, part of legitimacy is we want to have as much Lucas input as in general. So how does that – I have a question for you, Matt. How does that change your view of these sequels based on the fact that George Lucas may have been involved in the story stage
point? It does make you a little worried based on what you've seen from the prequels, but
– Gungan's Attack, Episode 7.
Well, I mean, I've heard – there are some other reports in this same article. It talks about how – so – we found out in October, but this has obviously been going on behind the scenes for a while. And so they've been actually working hand in hand before the day he signed the dotted line. Disney had been taking these scripts and taking these ideas from George Lucas, working behind the scenes. But there were some things he wouldn't give to them. Like he had storyboarded some different ideas. He had sketched out some specific characters and places.
Yeah.
And Disney was asking for them, and he wasn't yet prepared to give them. So they were kind of like – there was still a little bit of fight before – he actually signed off on it, and Bob Iger, who is the CEO right now of Disney, you know, he was all smiles when he was signing, but there was, I guess, a little hesitation from George Lucas. Not necessarily hesitation, but kind of a melancholiness as he's knows he's signing away this thing that's been his for so long. So
yeah.
I'm not worried. I think Disney is going to take his ideas and then make them better.
J.J. Abrams knows that we don't need Gungans.
Yeah, no.
In fact, if he's smart, the opening scene will be a Death Star nuking Naboo and all Gungans ever are back. Like they'll start by setting up in the opening scroll that there's a Gungan reunion party that all Gungans in the galaxy are at Naboo, and that'll just be the opening scroll, and everybody's going to be so mad. They're like, what the heck? We didn't want to see Gungans, and then just blow up the planet.
That is a good idea.
And then you could have a second opening scroll after that. It's that's out of the way, Here's the movie.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That could be the start before, because you know Disney does all those shorts.
Yes.
I was thinking, this is totally off subject, but I don't know what made me think of this, but we just talked about Naboo. George Lucas is pretty creative, and he does have some pretty sweet planet names. Like Naboo, pretty awesome. Dagobah, Coruscant. I mean, Tatooine. I mean, these seem like real places.
Yes.
Like, they're pretty good names.
But then he also has Jar Jar.
I know. I think George Lucas, even though we give him a bad time quite often, mostly good.
He went crazy.
But his ideas are mostly good.
I don't know if I can agree with you
on that. If you look at the ratio, sometimes people that are non-Christians think, I should just do more good than bad, and that will get me to heaven. I feel like if George Lucas's heaven was dependent on if he's done more good or bad in Star Wars, I'd think he'd have done more good.
Yeah, but most of his good ideas are 30 years in the past.
Yeah, that's true. But
if you put a expiration date on it, he's way on the other side of that scale by now.
I can't remember if I said this on the show. I don't want to see a young Han Solo movie.
No.
I've really decided. I've been thinking about these spinoffs. I want to have all new characters or characters we don't know very much about. So not Boba Fett, not Han Solo. I'm fine with some of the other ones that they've talked about, but I want more new ideas. If Disney has us, just do something new.
Yeah.
I think Daniel has a call Star Wars.
Say that. Yeah, so let's hear the latest from Daniel Butcher.
Boys, it happened. Today, Lucasfilm announced that they are no longer going to be airing Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Yes!
Men, stop cheering.
That's
not nice. So I sit here and listen to my Kevin Kiner Star Wars The Clone Wars soundtrack. I just think back of those good times. Captain Rex, Ahsoka. How sometimes Anakin was whiny. What am I going to do?
Watch good TV.
Not only is Clone Wars canceled, but Detours is postponed.
Oh, thank God.
Ben, stop cheering. Not nice.
Have you listened to this?
I have not.
It's not nice. The good news is hours after the release of the press release from Lucasfilm saying that they were no longer going to be putting Star Wars Clone Wars on television, they did put out a YouTube video with supervising director Dave Filoni, who's a genius, letting us know that there are still Clone Wars stories to be told. They just won't be told on a weekly television show. And he also included a clip of a really awesome battle scene in which a clone trooper attacks and kills a Jedi. And kind of this look of horror from Rex. When he sees this happen, it makes you think maybe at least in one clone, Order 66 went a little early. So again, Lucasfilm and Disney is using the line that they're focusing everything on to Episode 7. Because of that, Star Wars The Clone Wars canceled. I expect we'll see episodes either on a DVD release or online in the future, because they do have some episodes that they've already produced that they didn't release, even ones for this season that just ended. And obviously, we've still got this awesome video of a really sweet battle, to be honest. So, with all sadness, all hail Star Wars The Clone Wars. Except for Ben, who, for some reason, maybe somebody's listening to.
Oh,
they should listen to me. Okay, so just for the record, I did not listen to that beforehand. Oh. Daniel and I did not plan it out or coordinate. He just knows my reactions that well.
That's amazing. okay, so here's why I feel sad about this. Last year, Daniel and I would get together to watch Clone Wars. He would watch it. Actually, I don't know if he watched it separately last season, but I would go over, watch it with him and his family. It was kind of our thing. This year I didn't do it because, you know, more busy with the engagement. But yeah, so I'm kind of sad just for now. Daniel and I will have to find a new show to watch. Besides, we watched Falling Skies during the summer, but so it has like a special place in my heart. So I'll miss Clone Wars. Detours, what do you know about that? The Seth Green.
Oh, that looked so horrible.
It's a Star Wars comedy?
Yeah, that just looked awful. So, I did you watch the trailers when they came out?
No.
Oh, you should look them up on YouTube. They're the worst.
So it was a Star Wars comedy, animated. It's now pretty much, they're saying they're just not going to work on it for a while, but I'm guessing, it's canceled.
That's Hollywood speak for, we're going to hope nobody notices.
Seth Green is going to be so sad. Can you imagine? He's like, he booked this awesome Star Wars show. And now,
no, he booked this Star Wars show.
Oh, okay. No adjective.
No adjective.
Okay.
Well, at least not the adjective you chose.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's good that they're focusing their efforts on episodes 7, 8, and 9 and kind of redirecting the franchise that way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, George Lucas, did you know that part of the reason he wanted to sell Lucasfilms was to open an art museum? Have you heard this?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's crazy. So, nothing would really surprise me at this point.
Here's what this article says. Turns out that 4 decades plus of filmmaking was all just a lead up to his true passion, becoming a museum curator. The director revealed that he started collecting art when he was in film school and hasn't stopped since. And here's what he says. At one point, I wanted to become an illustrator. My father said, no way. I'm not going to pay for that. You'll never make a living as an artist. So here it is. So here's more of Lucas. This museum is anything, if anything, is a dedication to cultural fantasy. How do you design environments? How do you design sets? How do you design characters? How do you design costumes? Part of the museum is designed to educate people into the idea of storytelling, into the idea of being able to paint your fantasies, which is what Star Wars was.
You know, you mentioned last week on the show that you thought Gary Oldman would make a great Stan Lee in a movie. As I was listening to you talk, there needs to be like a George Lucas Stan Lee buddy cop movie. You know, would be awesome.
Like, somebody should just make characters that are ripoffs completely of George Lucas and Stan Lee. Yeah.
They could switch their names. Stan and George. Yeah, Stan and George.
That
would be a great movie.
That would be good. All right.
Or just wait 20 years till both of them are dead.
Yikes. I wonder if they're friends.
I doubt it.
Marvel,
I mean, you can't see those two getting along.
They both have parts of Disney, sort of Marvel. And
yeah. I mean,
I guess Stan Lee had nothing to do with
George Lucas seemed a lot more reserved and very cautious. And Stan Lee is just like, screw the medication. I am on the loose.
If they were playing good cop, bad cop, which one would be the good cop?
Stan Lee would be the good cop.
No,
Lucas. No, you think Stan Lee would be the one
who's
just
crazy. Actually, this is perfect. There's no better intro to this than right now. Here we go. It is Ben.
Yes,
it's
sir.
The Stan Lee quote of the week. Bing! Ah, yes. Well, this week on the Stan Lee quote of the week, we get to learn about another thing that Stan Lee hates. I mean, does it get any better than this?
Probably not.
No.
No.
So
it does not.
Stan's brains.
Now, there's one thing that's really been bothering me. It's been ticking me off.
There's just one.
And that is the fact that so many people today are wearing their baseball cap-type caps with the brim toward the back. I don't get it. The purpose of the brim is to keep the sun out of your eyes. If you're playing for the New York Yankees and a fly ball is coming, you don't want the sun in your eyes. You pull that brim down and you catch the ball. I don't know where the idea came from that that's cool. It's not cool. It's idiotic. The purpose of the brim is to keep the sun out of your eyes. There's a reason for it. So from now on, I want to make this very clear. You wear a cap with a brim, you wear the brim in front.
Or else.
Now, if you're worried about keeping the sun away from the back of your neck, you've got big troubles, fella.
It's the Stan Lee quote of the week.
Oh, my goodness. He He never runs out of stuff, does he?
I know. I don't know where he comes up with all this.
No, did you, over the weekend, T-Fury, one of our favorite sites, was selling a Stan Lee t-shirt.
I saw it a little too late. I didn't like it late last night. Did you see it? Did you buy it?
I did.
Oh, a Buddy Stan.
Buddy Stan,
from the movie Dogma. Do you like the movie Dogma?
I have never seen it.
Oh, so you don't even get the reference.
Well, I do. It's Buddy Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know that much about the movie.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so... which has all sorts of odd implications when you think about Stan Lee and his view of himself. And
well, he didn't make that shirt, to be fair.
No, but I'm sure he would approve of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
As long as you don't wear your baseball cap type cap.
I wonder if Daniel got one, too, because I saw on Facebook he said he might be buying one.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Both of you guys have one. I don't?
I guess not.
That sucks.
Do you think Cubby bought one?
No. No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Because
I know Daniel had asked... on that
if it should be
if it was I suggested that all Sci-Fi Christian hosts should buy one as our official uniform, and he put up a post saying, Matt and Clammy, are you guys in?
Did he say Clammy?
No, I don't know what I always forget that guy's name.
Ben, did you happen to see the Great and Powerful Oz this weekend?
Oh, heck no, I'm not seeing that.
I saw it. Enjoyable.
Oh yeah, that's not a ringing endorsement.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk too much about it in case Daniel and I decide to do an episode on it, but it, obviously was the number one this movie. It was the third highest grossing film in March of all time. And
you know, I want to, Stan Lee gets to rant, I'm going to rant.
Okay.
The same highest grossing of all time, because it just gets thrown out all the time, it's absolutely meaningless.
Why? Because of
you factor
the
inflation. Yeah. You factor in rising ticket prices. It's absolute nonsense. You know,
have they done one though where they factored in
inflation? Oh yeah, Box Office Mojo can adjust it for
you. So I want to know what is.
I think it's Snow White.
Oh.
I think Snow White sold enough tickets where, like, in real dollars, it would be, you know, over a billion. So that's pretty exciting Snow White.
Yeah, good work there.
Well done, Snow White.
It's sad too because Disney. That was their first animated feature length. Well, it was, I think, the first one, period. And now Disney has just announced that they don't have any plans to have any more hand-drawn animated features.
Oh, no.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I like, you know, Pixar animation as much as the next guy, but there's something pretty cool about the hand-drawn animation. It just has a different look and feel, and, you know, you get something out of that you don't get with computer animation. Mm-hmm. So I think that's sad news. It's a loss to the film industry.
Yeah, you know, Daniel, obviously, is the Disney expert. I've been talking to him. I want to do sort of a state of Disney, because I keep hearing these little snippets of news, and I read that Business Week article, which was super interesting.
Yeah.
I want Daniel to help me kind of go behind the scenes. So I think in some future episode, I don't know when, maybe April-ish, we'll do... State of the Disney Union.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
Okay. Next piece of news, Ben.
Sam Mendes, I'm only doing this news because you and Corey recorded an episode about Bond being sci-fi.
Yeah.
But Sam Mendes is not coming back for the next James Bond movie.
I did see that. Do you feel bad about that?
No, I mean, I like Skyfall, but it wasn't, you know, there has never been a James Bond movie that I have said, that's incredible. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was as good as any James Bond movie is, but from my perspective, that's not terribly great. I don't understand the appeal of James Bond.
I like Casino Royale, and that's about my favorite one of all James Bonds ever.
Yeah, I'd say this one is probably maybe a little better than Casino Royale for me, but, you know, they're both about as good. But, yeah, most James Bond movies are just really terrible from a storytelling and character standpoint.
You're going to hate this. Speaking of James Bond, there's another character that's a JB spy. We're talking about Jason Bourne.
Bourne, yeah.
And Matt Damon is open to playing him again.
Yeah.
And as you know, in Bourne Legacy, he was not in it at all.
Oh, that was a horrible... Oh, did you see it?
Yeah, horrible. We can agree on this one. And I love Bourne.
Yeah. Well, I like the first three Bourne movies.
That was so bad. One of the worst movies I saw all last year.
Definitely.
So this is what you're not going to like. They have this idea, the studio does, to do a reverse X-Men.
Oh, okay, no. So
what they mean by that is they had the original X movie, and then they did Wolverine Origins, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're reversing it. We saw this new character whose name I forget now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't even know his name. They're kind of introducing, okay, there's Jason Bourne. There's this new guy, Cross. I forgot his first name. Aaron Cross. And then maybe they'll have another movie about another spy like that, and they're building a team. Oh, wait, you know what? This is not a reverse X-Men. This is an Avengers.
Oh, my gosh. Once again, I'm proven right. Once again, I'm proven right. Because I said This is why Avengers is not a good thing. And now here we are with a three good movies with Bourne, but then this crappy other movie. And then, you know, if the second one's that bad, the third one's going to be even worse. And so I'm right. They're building towards an Avengers-type thing, and this is going to take over pop culture. And instead of having good standalone movies, you're going to have sucky team building.
Yeah.
And I am proven right. I am prophetic. You guys should have listened to me. And when Avengers 2 comes out, don't go see it more than once. We need to make sure it's not successful so that Hollywood gets the message.
I don't think they're going to get the message. Avengers 2 is going to be awesome.
Well, not if we get the news out.
So is that going to be our campaign here? From
I think so. Go see it. Don't see it more than once.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny. It's really funny that they didn't just say. So I got that reverse X-Men thing from the article, and it was from a statement from the studio.
Yeah.
They could have easily just been like,
yeah, they're doing an Avengers.
I'm doing an Avengers. Like, we're doing a spy Avengers. So anyways, Matt Damon's open to coming back, but I think the most likely scenario is not that they're going to make a super team of spies. I think the most likely scenario is they'll do another one with Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
And then maybe have his third movie be him and Matt Damon together.
Wow. That sucks, too.
Yeah. Hey, you never let me really finish my Oz news earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's totally fine. I was just going to say it was the highest grossing or third highest in March. And and then also, they've already started working on a sequel.
Oh, no.
And Sam Raimi, who was the director, has already...
There already is a sequel.
No, another sequel.
It's called The Wizard of Oz.
I know, but it's not. They're not in the same world. They're separate. Okay. Like, they don't own the rights to it. So, for example, when you see Oz, if you ever do see it, you'll notice there is no mention of the Ruby Slippers. And the reason is because those belong to the people that created the movie. I guess they're not in the original story.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So Sam Raimi has said he does not want to come back and direct a second one, though.
Oh, good.
So even though he had a good time, no hard feelings, doesn't sound like. He just doesn't. He's not interested in going back to that world again.
Yeah, Sam Raimi's a much better director than doing garbage like that.
Did you hear what he said about Spider-Man? He finally commented on what happened with Spider-Man 4.
Yeah, he was, and also mentioned he was very unhappy with Spider-Man 3.
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, go for it.
It's actually kind of interesting. So like you're just saying, he seems like a director that's smart and good, both at the same time. Here's what he said when it was asked what happened with his Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 4. Before it was The Amazing Spider-Man, he was going to do one fourth movie to make up for the third one. He said, "It really was the most amicable and undramatic of breakups." That's him in the studio.
Yeah.
"It was simply that we had a deadline and I couldn't get the story to work on a level that I wanted it to work. I was very unhappy with Spider-Man 3. I wanted to make Spider-Man 4 to end on a very high note, the best Spider-Man of them all, but I couldn't get the script together in time due to my own failings. And I said to Sony, I don't want to make a movie that is less than great, so I think we shouldn't make this picture." That's awesome that he said that.
Definitely.
"Go ahead with your reboot, which you've been planning anyway." And Sony said, "Thank you. Thank you for not wasting the studio's money. I appreciate your candor." So we left on the best of terms, both of us trying to do the best thing for fans, the good name of Spider-Man, and Sony Studios.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they didn't make another one if it was going to suck. I haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man yet, so I can't comment on, you know, whether or not it was a good choice from the perspective of that now we have an even better series going on. From what I've heard about Amazing Spider-Man, I think that it sounds like it wasn't that great.
I liked it.
Well,
yeah. But it wasn't my favorite movie.
Right. I mean, all I know is that there's a bunch of lizard people running around at the end, which sounds really stupid.
Well, just, you know, a handful.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll see it eventually, I'm sure. But, you know, I just think that we need to focus on quality instead of crap.
I agree. Here we go.
Take that, science!
In today's episode of Take That, Science, we are going to talk a little Star Trek. And so, as I was saying earlier, Star Trek, I've been watching a lot of Star Trek lately, kind of getting into that world, preparing for our future Star Trek episode. So don't worry, fans, it's coming.
Wait, we're doing a future Star Trek episode?
Well, you're not going to be on it.
What?
You don't like Star Trek.
Well, I'll be on it.
Okay, you can be on it.
I need to have the alternate voice.
It's going
to
be a Star Trek roundtable. I've invited Colin from the UK.
Oh, no.
I've invited Michael Poteet from the Sci-Fi Question. Oh, no.
So many Star Trek fans.
Yeah, I know. It's a Star Trek roundtable. I've invited Daniel Butcher from the Sci-Fi Question. And then me, who's kind of like,
gosh.
I'm like a medium fan. And then you, who is a...
I think I definitely need to be on this episode, okay. Or else it's going to be unlistenable.
This episode's not going to come out, though, until almost time for the movie. So we're a couple months away still. So I've been trying to watch a lot and kind of like, what's the word when you're like, kind of like something?
Revving up.
Yeah, something like that. So here's the Star Trek news today. A Star Trek study has proved it's not more dangerous to be a red shirt after all.
Yeah, see, this is just dumb.
Okay, listen to this. During the entire run of the original series, 24 people that were wearing red died, more than any other crew members on the show. A recent study points out that while red shirts suffer more deaths, there's a question of ratio that has never been analyzed. Based on blueprint sanctioned as canon by Paramount itself, there are some total of 430 crewmen on board the Enterprise, 239 of whom are red-shirted engineering, operations, and security personnel. With 24 of those having died, that's about a 10% mortality rate. Okay, now here's the big thing. There are 55 gold-shirted command and helm personnel members of the Enterprise, 9 of whom died over the course of 3 seasons. Mortality rate? 13.4%, which means that the red shirts are actually over 3% less likely to die.
Okay, anybody who took the time to figure that out, you need a life, because that was just the most pointless news we've ever reported on the Sci-Fi Christian.
Take that, like,
that
science.
Is the worst news we've ever had in the history of the show.
Wait. Take that, science.
Take that, Ben DiBono is more like it. I mean, seriously, we have reached the bottom, right. Which we're in the golden age of the Sci-Fi Christian, so that's surprising.
All right, go ahead, take it away. Your next piece of news.
I only have two.
So
I only have one.
What did you have to do with?
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, that's mine. So let me do my one small one, and we'll go to the last news of the
day.
Okay,
that sounds good.
Joss Whedon has debunked rumors about a Planet Hulk movie. Remember I talked about that a while ago? Not happening.
Yeah.
So they said, and actually the reason is really smart. I didn't even think of this, but Mark Ruffalo, who plays Bruce Banner, really couldn't be in Planet Hulk other than his CGI version. And so it wouldn't make any sense to hire this actor to not be in the movie at all.
Yeah, exactly.
So makes sense. So here we go. And
last news of the day.
What do you got for Christopher Nolan?
Well, Interstellar has a release date.
I know, amazingly soon.
Yes, November 7th, 2014.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Every time I read the description, I think this movie is perfect for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be amazing. Alternate dimensions. Christopher Nolan.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, so go Christopher Nolan. Still no word one way or the other on the whole Justice League thing from last week.
Yeah, you know what? I'm happy about this. First of all, I feel like if they do want to do Justice League, it's cool that they're having him do this first. So that date is soon, especially considering they haven't started filming yet this type of sci-fi movie, Interstellar. I'm shocked it's next year.
Yeah.
It's just over 2 years away from when Dark Knight Rises came out, and usually he's got 3 years between.
It's usually 2 years.
Is it 2 years? Okay.
I think, it might have been 3 between Inception and Dark Knight Rises.
So, yeah, I just heard this news today, so I was really excited.
Yeah,
so,
definitely. That's awesome.
It's a trap. Okay, Ben, you wanted to make an announcement about listener feedback?
All right, so here's the deal, people. We have been trying to read all your feedback, and it's simply not working.
Well, yeah, last week, I think we read most, at least a piece of everybody that wrote it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's getting a little tough. So we've had to. So if you want to be on the show, we basically need you to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're not on the show, you know what that means. No, I mean, we will read all of the feedback that you send in.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, definitely. We will read it all. You know, we will. Sometimes Matt and I will talk about more than we're able to read on the show. And, you know, maybe we'll respond to you privately. But on the show, we're only going to read like 2-3 emails a week because we'd rather, you know, actually take time to respond substantively to a few than try and read a small piece of all of them.
Yeah. And I do find a lot of times that people do tend to write some of the same things. I guess I should say if yours isn't mentioned, it doesn't mean it wasn't good. It just means we chose somebody who also said something similar to you.
Exactly.
So do you have a little...
But if they hear the feedback...
Then they know that theirs was the least good of the good ideas.
But nobody said something similar to them and they still didn't make it on the show. Should they feel bad about themselves at that point?
I'd say at that point it's safe to feel bad.
Yeah, go ahead.
And if you feel like you had a pretty good point...
You're kind of in a carry category at that point.
If you... felt like you had a pretty good idea and we didn't mention it, I guess it's possible I accidentally put you in spam. So why don't you send me another email and say, hey, why did that...
Well, but we want to say 2 shots maximum. Like don't send us one every day asking why you weren't on the show.
Well, it's actually kind of humiliating if they have to send it. Like, are you sure you didn't miss that email? No, we saw it.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, so I have a... This is interesting because, you know, I like to make fun of our time loop episodes.
Oh, come on.
Because I think it's generally not the greatest use of our time. But apparently a lot of people have been listening. Maybe we've reached a critical mass where people have not heard some of the early stuff.
I think it's true because the one I played was the second episode, and there are people that have never heard that far back.
Exactly. So we have an email here from a guy named David who responds to something we said, which is going to be interesting because I don't remember very much of what we said.
Yeah, well, because if you think about it, this is January 2011.
Yeah, okay. A long time ago.
Yeah.
I was a Protestant and everything back then. So David says, hey, you've been listening to your show since I discovered it on the podcast nominations this past year. So yes, he is a recent listener.
Nice.
Been loving the show and enjoying the banter. Was listening to the time loop episode about aliens and whether or not they exist. On the basic level, I do respect your opinions on whether or not they exist. Good, even though we can't remember what those opinions were.
Yes.
We are glad you respect them. However, I do have a beef with one of your proofs,
uh-oh,
if you will. You constantly refer to the fact, and he put fact in quotation marks, not a good sign, that they would have to have their own version of Christ and the salvation message. Now I propose that extraterrestrials do not have a salvation message. They do not need it. Adam and Eve, pre-fall, did not have a salvation message. They just knew God. I'm actually in the process of writing a short story about what I think this would be like, but I had to say something once I heard the podcast. It almost angered me enough to stop listening to that episode.
What?
So that's a little disconcerting. You know, I mean, we're going to say things that, especially when Matt and I disagree, you're going to disagree with one of us.
Hey, Ben, I have to be honest real quick. I was loading up my next listener feedback, so I missed. What was the thing that made him so mad?
Well, he hasn't gotten to that. Or, yeah, the fact that we said that aliens would need salvation or their own salvation story.
Well, how would you argue with that?
I don't know. Because well, he's gonna tell us.
Unless that they are perfect, they would need to be saved somehow.
Yeah, but David, I mean, this is a lively debate show. You're certainly welcome to write in and disagree with us, but don't turn us off just because you disagree. That's a bad idea.
Keep listening. We might actually solve the problem.
So it almost angered me enough to stop listening to that episode. I did listen to the whole thing. That's good. My reason for saying that they did not fall, so he's arguing aliens did not fall and that's a definitive fact.
Well, that's possible, but how do you know that, David?
Well, he's going to tell us, and therefore do not need a salvation message as such, is the fact that the Bible says that all of creation awaits the redemption of man in Romans 8:19. This does not imply that we are the only ones to fall. I think so. That's my rant. Thanks for the great show. Yeah, I think this goes back to some of what we were saying in the Genesis episode, though. You know, that you got to read Scripture as it was meant to be read. I don't think that Paul's making a comment on the salvific state of extraterrestrials or that the Scripture is intending to communicate that to us one way or another with that verse. What do you think, Matt?
I agree with you.
All right, so David, I hope we didn't make you angry and that you're still listening to the show.
He might not have even heard the end here.
Oh, crap!
Oh, you should have been nice at the beginning.
Oh, I was nice. I said he liked the time loop episode. I suppose I insulted the time loop episodes, but if he hasn't heard them before, that's a great thing.
Hey.
So thank you for writing, David. We just don't agree.
Yes. We had a couple people say that it's like every time I mention Doctor Who, there's more people that say, yes, do a Doctor Who episode. So we will. Don't worry. It's happening.
Someday.
Palindrome was the person that said that they would put together a supernatural viewing guide for us if we wanted to. And
no.
This is another thing. If you guys watch 2001, A Space Odyssey, you should watch it together and do a live blog, which would be funny for us and probably make it more bearable for you.
I would be down for
that. Okay, me too.
At least us live blogging the 40 minutes with the monkeys would be amazing.
Okay, yes. So 2001, A Space Odyssey, watch-a-thon, just like we did for Lord of the
Rings. We'll put it on the calendar.
And then we'll do an episode right afterwards.
That's
just like so it'll be
awesome.
Okay, so July. Let's do it in July again.
Okay.
I'll sleep over at your house.
Well, we got to do it here if we got the equipment.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You'll have to sleep overnight here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll take it.
Well, unless I can snuggle with Ryan.
I don't think he would mind either.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to interfere with you two.
I mean, he knows I'm engaged now.
He's been having to weed himself off of snuggle time.
RC has a comment for you, Ben.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I know, RC wasn't happy with us.
Did you read this?
I did.
This is from episode 126. You must have said something during our news episode. Only comment, Ben. With regards to analyzing things in accordance to scientific fact, while I actually do agree to a certain extent, do you think we know 10% of everything there is to know in the universe? How about 50%, Ben? How about 5%?
Yeah, he's a very combative fellow. He had a similar combative comment for our Genesis episode. So, go on.
If you were to look over the past 100 years and the authority with which science has stated its case, then to change those views, replaced largely with more theories, I think you should see the terms such as scientific fact are not what they should would be are not what they would be presented to be. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out. I think he meant to type something else.
Probably. Yeah, I think I got it.
I'm old Earth, but I think it's a disservice to lock ourselves into knowing things if we don't actually know them. The only thing I know about humanity is that we actually know very little.
All right, so a couple things, RC. First of all, welcome to the show. We're glad to have
RC's
you.
RC's been listening for a bit.
Second of all, you know, we're all friends here, so we don't need to get quite so combative.
I love when you fight with the fans.
Even though I'm about to get combative with you.
Just like George Lucas and Stan Lee, if you and I were to play good cop, bad cop, which one of us would be the good cop?
Oh, you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You're still the bad cop.
What if
we were just playing good cop, bad cop together?
Oh, I think I don't know. That'd be a little weird. I don't think we should do that. Oh, here's a commenting tip to get on the air. Include context in your comments. Oh. I have no clue what he's talking about that I said was scientific fact. I agree with his general comment that we don't know everything about science. Yeah, I guess that we agree, RC. The best I could manage there was that he's referring to my comment that it's scientific fact that the Earth isn't 6,000 years old. I think that one's pretty well settled. So exact age of the Earth, I would agree that that's something that could change. But, you know, that the Earth isn't 6,000 years old, I think science has definitively proven. So in general, I agree with your point, RC, and specific well, I guess I don't know the specifics, so be more specific.
Nice.
And then I think I would still hold to my opinion that science has definitively proven that the Earth did not just appear 6,000 years ago.
Excellent.
Well, thank you for writing, RC.
Thanks, RC. Nice to hear from you again. And as you know, I always support you, whereas Ben will always talk you down.
Oh, I don't know about always. That's the first time we've replied to him.
Robin from Basingstoke, UK.
Oh, I love our UK people.
Yeah, he wrote a lot. So, Robin, thanks for the email. And you even gave me permission to edit you, so I appreciate that as well. One portion, he did talk about our virtual ethics episode. He said some good things. I wanted to hone in on one particular idea that I don't think we mentioned during the show. The idea of getting into a virtual world isn't always new. Pen and paper role-playing games such as Dungeons & Dragons have been around for decades. And while such physical RPGing and wargaming... Sorry, I'm going to the next line. Wargaming. Where to go? May sound primitive compared with today's immersive graphics and social internet gaming. I believe they were just as involved and time-consuming, and imagination was the key. It does sound worrying that people could one day live out their entire lives in virtual worlds, because despite how good graphics, sounds, and adventures can be, you can never experience something like taking a walk in a green space with fresh spring air around you or feeling the sun on your face. Technology would have to increase the power of the Matrix to make it indistinguishable from reality, something I doubt will ever happen.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I mean, I think in that episode we were kind of speculating, you know, for the sake of argument, suppose it does happen.
I liked his reminder that these type of things have been around, like with Dungeons & Dragons, and he did say he doesn't endorse those games, just that they've been around. So,
I mean, it's pretty kind of impressive to think about people playing, you know, World of Warcraft type thing with pens and paper. Or are you familiar with LARPing, Matt?
Oh, I just became familiar with it within the last, I think, 2 or 3 months. I just heard about it. I would totally do at least one LARPing.
It does adventure. Sound kind of awesome, doesn't
I would,
it?
Yeah, it would be cool. Let's not tell people what it is. Just go look up LARPing.
Yeah.
I would do, like, is it mostly medieval or is it old?
Yeah, I assume you would have different genres.
I want to do primarily this. I really want to do one day of LARPing.
We should.
Is there a place around here?
I don't know. Screw a place around here. Let's research it. And we'll put on our own LARPing experience.
Okay, now we have to tell them what it is.
Okay, so live action role playing.
Yeah, so you dress up. You pretend you're like in a kingdom and you have to battle people. And there's people who pretend to be dragons and ogres. And you pretend and you stay in character. It's like, whose line is it anyway? That type of improv, but it's adventure.
Yeah, so
I don't know if I would want to get into LARPing, but I would do it once.
It seems like it could be a social suicide to get into LARPing in just about every social circle out there.
Robin did say one last thing.
Okay.
He said, on a lighter note, I would like to hear about the bronies, which you mentioned. I can't understand why an adult would be interested in such a child's program as My Little Pony.
My gosh, I'm in complete agreement with you, Ryan.
No,
Robin. Sorry, Ryan's the guy you snuggle with. Robin's the guy in the UK.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
So I have one last email here on my side from Andrew, who is writing in regarding You have Andrew too.
I have it too. So that's okay. Great. So go ahead.
So Andrew is writing in regarding my suggestion to you that you not read Harry Potter.
Yes, this is, and what he said is actually very valuable.
Yeah. So he said, Matt and Ben, just listened to last week's show. Loved all the feedback from Genesis. Thanks for mentioning my letter, even though the points were a bit nuanced for a soundbite. It made my day. My wife was laughing at how excited I got. So Andrew, you can be double excited this week.
Yay!
Because you made both my list for feedback and Matt, so that's exciting. This week, I have to disagree with Ben, a rarity for me, as it should be, perhaps to get crushed by Harry Potter fans rising in defense against Ben's dismissal. My reason is different than most, probably, and has less to do with the books themselves and specifically to do with marriage for you, Matt. One of the greatest joys in my marriage has been reading and watching things because of my wife and I that I would have never touched before. There's almost always something great about her favorites that I genuinely like, not just in a fake way out of obligation. It goes both ways, too. She got completely into the new Battlestar Galactica, much to her surprise. If we really don't like something, it's still hilarious because we can poke fun at each other about it, and it turns into a running joke.
Yes.
We've realized together that there's far more media out there than we'll ever be able to consume, and the most valuable part of the story is usually our time together discussing, analyzing, and critiquing it, even more so than its pure entertainment quality. I get Ben's point in general. Many people are post-Potter and don't need to go back. But for your circumstance, Matt, I think you'd be rewarded by the investment if your wife is into the books. I don't think this is just becoming a pushover and abandoning quality or reason. It's more humbly acknowledging that your own tastes are shaped largely by your experiences and peers, and that it's worth letting that process continue to happen in marriage.
Read the next line.
Loving the multiple shows per week. Keep it up.
Cheers, Andrew. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, this feedback was really valuable to me because it did make me reconsider. Because I, it was kind of like, okay, the Potter books are on my mind, but am I really going to make it a priority?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I actually talked to Des about this and told him about this email and how we're going to mention her on the show. And, yeah, there is a value to having this thing that we can discuss, you know, even if it is something that I necessarily don't, I'm not, like, it wouldn't be at the top of my list usually.
Yeah.
Bringing her into it is pretty awesome. And He is referring to her as my wife, even though she's currently my fiance. But it's crazy right now for me to think of
having a wife.
She is going to be my wife.
That's nuts.
This is a crazy time, Ben DeBono.
Yeah, I actually agree with Andrew. I think he makes a very interesting point. So I mean, I suppose that I would say is it kind of depends on how many things like that you guys are into together. You know, if you have a lot of shared interests, then is it really necessary to add one more? Maybe not. But, you know, since she's not super into sci-fi, maybe it's worthwhile doing the sci-fi thing she is into.
I'm excited to be married.
Yeah, it's fun.
Excited to read these books and talk with her about them.
Definitely.
So good feedback, Andrew. I'm going to do it because of this. So
he had a few recommendations for us. Do you want me to list them off?
I just picked out a few. Primer, which is on Netflix right now.
It's a great movie.
I have to watch that. He said... Neal Stephenson's books,
Have you ever read Neal Stephenson?
No, he said every Neal Stephenson book, but he said not for Matt. He would never finish them.
They are rather long. I hated Snow Crash, but I have, I think it's Anathem or something. I downloaded that to my Kindle because it was just on sale for like $2 or something on Amazon. So I am looking forward to
any of the
other
ones that you thought were noteworthy that he said.
Well, then he had some things that his wife introduced him to, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, which is just an awful book. I know it's very popular. I couldn't stand it. Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, I got to read that.
T.S. Eliot. You got to love T.S. Eliot. He is the best. Lewis's Space Trilogy.
Hey, Andrew, if you like the Lewis Space Trilogy, you should check out the Strangers and Aliens podcast. They're our B Squad. And
they are our B Squad.
And they are doing a whole C.S. Lewis year. And February is, or was, for...
Yeah, they haven't given us a book for the next
Out
next
of
month.
The Silent Planet. So go check out the subsidiary podcast to the Sci-Fi Christian called Strangers and Aliens at strangersandaliens.com.
Yeah, we kind of throw them a bone every now and then.
Well, I mean, we basically, after the feud, we kind of absorbed their podcast.
We did.
And then they became our B team.
Yeah, they're like our daughter.
You know, they mentioned
podcast.
They actually did mention being the B team on their episode.
That's awesome.
I should find that clip and ask them if I can play it.
Were they happy about it?
Yeah, they were happy about it.
We don't need to ask them. They're our subsidiary.
Good point. So next week during story time, I'll bring that clip.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then he says things that my wife is glad I'm not into. One entry there, My Little Pony.
And the our war against My Little Pony and the bronies continue.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, it's... Noah, I respect the heck out of you. You've written some great emails in the last few weeks. But, dude, you are completely incomprehensible to me on that point.
So strong. Oh, okay.
Just on that point, you know, Noah's a cool dude besides that.
If you'd like to leave us any news or feedback, you can do it on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter. You can call us at
612-4121-SFC.
And they can email us.
feedback@thescifichristian.com. Yeah, and if you're going to email us, include me on there too, because that one goes to Matt. So, ben@thescifichristian.com.
Good. I like the idea. Some people have our writing knowing that we're only taking parts of it. So write with sound bites in mind.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Great episode, Ben.
Yes.
Glad to see you again.
Worthy.
Worthy of the name The Sci-Fi Christian. Yeah. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono.
And we are The Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.
Goodbye.
Next time on The Sci-Fi Christian.
Brady Hardin.
He wrote a book called Duncan Ross, Book 1. Do you remember the subtitle?
Is it The Follies of Haven Island?
I think it is that. It is The Follies of Haven Island. Yep. So you can check out our interview with author and Sci-Fi Christian contributor Brady Hardin on the next
Sci-Fi Christian.